the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here we are, the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, Knickerbocker Avenue, Fair and Forum, NBA playoffs game in session. Another game about to be underway. Game between the Bucks and the Heat, and the Heat are looking real good right now versus the top-seeded Bucks. Of course, Game 7, Thunder, Rockets. As we get towards the conclusion of this episode, we're going to wrap it up early and just talk about these games, some of the game in-game situations, as far as what I saw on the court thus far since the last week we spoke. In the last week, we've had these hoops dialogue. But the Heat have been real tough on the Bucks today. They've been knocking down shots. Whether it's Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, Jay Crowder, they're getting production from pretty much a lot of their players in tonight's game over the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Milwaukee Bucks need to find answers, and they need to find answers quick. Like I said, Game 7 with the Rockets and Thunder. I did pick the Thunder in 7. I didn't say in 7, but I did pick the Thunder to win the series. But I'm not really too confident on that pick. I really am not. But we're gonna wrap this up quick because, of course, the games hold precedent before we even discuss the games. That's why we have a platform, so we can discuss the games. So without further ado, Dominic, what's going on? And Dominic, I have a good question for you. I hope all is well, Denardo DP. I hope you've been enjoying the NBA games. How you doing, sir?
Good evening, Steven, and I'm doing great. I can't complain, buddy.
Good evening, man. What's your thoughts on the game in session right now with the Heat and the Bucks? And we'll get to all the other games as well, but the Heat and Bucks, what's your thoughts?
Wow, Steve. Normally I come outside and I bring my iPad to watch it, but I don't have no faith in the Bucks, Steve. I didn't think they were going to the championship. I thought they'd get to the conference finals, but I don't even see that happening now, Steve. Just think, though, without getting winded, they play two games, right? Let's say they win today. They'll have beaten them 4 out of 5 times this year. And in 2 or 3 games, they smoked them. They beat the brakes off them, Steve. They picked the wrong team to have to play in the second round. Wow. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Somebody check them numbers. This will be 4 out of 5, Steve. Ooh. And they beat the brakes off them in Milwaukee. So, I like Miami. I hate to say that, Steve. Trust me, I hate to say that. But you got to call it how you see it, man. They are a very good, young, talented team with Jimmy Butler. What a combination.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're right, man. And we've talked about this over the years, and I believe, and I've said this before, I believe the Miami Heat is the culture of what the Knicks would have been from the 90s had Pat Riley still been affiliated with the Knicks organization. But obviously history, the course of history has changed. And Miami, what you see now, the toughness, I think that's probably one of the main reasons why I love Miami, because I see a lot of what I thought the Knicks could have been in probably, 20 years from, the mid-90s teams to what we see now. It's a tough bunch, man. And like you said, of course they've acquired Hall of Famers and they've won a couple of championships. But, I mean, this core right now, I mean, this is a Pat Riley – Eric Spoelstra, and then you bring in Jimmy Butler, like you already know. It's just that it's just toughness. You brought guys that just fit and play tough D. Acquired Andre Iguodala, who's a champion. Whether he gets a lot of minutes or not, Jimmy Butler, the shooters, Tyler Hero from Kentucky, and Duncan Robinson, and they found him out of nowhere. I know he played college ball at Michigan, but damn, dude. I mean, this is what scouting is all about, right, Don? We always talk about scouting. We talk about where to find players. And they found Duncan Robinson because he was even drafted. So, yeah, Don, I mean, Miami's looking tough, man. They're playing tough, tough D. Make it challenging everything, challenging every shot that's put up by Milwaukee, man.
And if I'm not mistaken, Steve, Robinson played on the same team as that kid the Knicks drafted, Iggy. I don't know how to say his name.
Yeah.
Right?
Rizinkus,
they both went to Michigan.
Right.
Yeah. Right. How did – you know what, Steve, not to cut you off, because you bring up a good point, and I hate when people say that. No knock about what you said. But if Riley would have stood. But you know what, Steve? Even if you tried to follow the blueprint of a Miami, maybe San Antonio, you know, I'm not saying be a copycat, but, you know, have some stability. The Knicks have had no stability. Look how long Spoelstra's been the head coach. You know, it's all about when you come to Miami, you're coming to the Heat. It's not, you know, we're going to bend the rules. We're going to do this and that. You're a star. We're going to change our whole system because of Steve. Mm-mm. But they don't do that, Steve. You come in, you fall in line, you play D, you hustle, the basics of basketball, and this is what you get, Steve. We talked about them earlier in the year. I didn't know they would be this good, this fat. Oof. That's a future.
Yeah, this is an interesting series, man. Because I thought, you know, I still think Milwaukee, you know, call me a blind follower as far as blind faith in the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm still thinking they're going to find a way to figure it out on a neutral court site, but nah, man. I mean, they have some tough defenders on this team. These Marquette dudes, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler. Remember, they used to play on the same team for 1 year. You know, that's kind of interesting because Dwayne Wade went to Marquette. Jay Crowder bounced around the league. It, you know, they took him away from Memphis along with Iguodala. And then Jimmy Butler wanted to go to Miami. He didn't want to be. That's crazy because he was on a team I thought was a good fit for what they needed in Philadelphia. And for whatever reason, he said, I'm out of this situation. I'd rather go to Miami. I like what Pat Riley is doing down in Miami than Elton Brand is doing in Philadelphia. I do find that interesting, honestly. So,
but
man,
the strange thing, Steve, like you said, he left. And guess what? He's in the second round. Philly's at home.
Right.
Would it have made a difference on that team with him still there? Probably, Steve. But that being said, he didn't want that. And I always commended Jimmy Butler. I always liked Jimmy Butler. So whether he's a Knick or not, I still like him. He's a hard-nosed ball player. And he said, you know what? They got a bunch of young players on the up-and-coming. Why not? I didn't think Bam Adebayo would be this good, this fast. Robinson, Hero. And I told somebody the other day, the way Spoelstra did that Nun Dragic thing, Nun started all year. Spoelstra saw the wheels coming off. Hey, it's playoff time. And they never missed a beat, Steve. I mean, damn, they never missed a beat. Switched point guards in the middle of the race. At the end of the race. And there we go again, Steve. It's the system. It's the coaching. It's the foundation. It's the culture. And this is what you have.
All right.
It sounds weird, but no, it is. I mean, woo. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? We have to add Miami. Yeah, Miami's probably top three. I always say Toronto has the best and Denver is up there, but Miami's definitely in that conversation. I'll put Brooklyn, top developmental teams as far as building their roster from within, getting those guys to play hard, man. Miami plays hard. We got to call it for what it is, even though I hate the Heat historically. But as far as what we see today, man, they are. And Jimmy Butler, what he did in that game one, man. I mean, I didn't think he had that in him, honestly. I mean, I knew he could score. But, I mean, clutch bucket after clutch bucket, it was – man, he willed their way. So I guess it's safe to say from your end, there's nothing coming from Antetokounmpo and Middleton, huh? I think you're saying Miami's going to get this in, what, 5-6?
See, believe it or not, I had them in 5. It might go – I don't know. the way they're playing, Steve, if Milwaukee don't win tonight, and I think they're still down by about six, if they don't win tonight, Steve, wow. And I again, Steve, we've seen this a million times. The Atlanta Hawks, there's been so many of them that are great regular season teams. They're just not built for the playoffs. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. The Raptors gave everybody the blueprint last year for the Greek Freak. And guess what? Miami's following the blueprint. They're running at them. They're building the wall. And it is what it is, Steve, until he learns how to shoot. And I think he won the MVP again. I'm not sure. I heard somebody say it. But until he learns how to shoot, Steve, this is what's going to happen every year in the playoff. He's a great player.
Speaking of the Raptors, how do you feel about that Raptors-Celtics series, man? I'm feeling the same way about the Raptors like I feel about the Bucks. I feel that the Raptors could find a way to climb out of it, even though it does not look good. It's almost a similar situation with Boston running tough defenders. Marcus Smart cannot miss in that fourth quarter with all those threes, man. And then, of course, Tatum is a baller. Jaylen Brown has been balling. The dude Robert Williams III coming off the bench, giving them a lot of energy and putting Cantor on the bench. Kemba Walker making fine. You know, he struggled early on, but I think in the fourth quarter it was making a lot of big shots. Kemba Walker, how you feel about that Raptors-Celtics series, man?
I had this going, Steve. I had the Raptors going back to the championship, but right now, I'll tell you what, Steve, the Celtics are clicking. Here's the weird thing, Steve. This is going to be if they move on. Their third conference final in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And all three of them have been without Kyrie Irving. Ain't that something? When they went and broke their back to get him, they went to the conference finals without him, got smoked with him, and here comes Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker did what Jimmy Butler did the other night, Steve. Jimmy Butler seemed like he took a nap during the first half. Then when it was game time, let me get up, let me stretch. And he turned into Jimmy Butler. And Kemba mm-hmm. Walker did the same thing yesterday. I think Kemba Walker might have missed every shot he took in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. He was like 0 for 7. And he came out in the fourth quarter, end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, like Kemba Walker. It's scary, Steve, all the depth they have. And you can't even say, well, you know, they can't go big. That's a lost art now, Steve. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you have to play the Lakers with Davis and McGee and Howard, that's a lost art, Steve. They got some tough. They're like the Heat. I think that would be a better conference finals than the Raptors and the Bucks, because that's some young legs going at it. Neither one of them are extremely big. Both teams shoot well. I think now, hindsight being 20, Steve, that might be a better conference finals than the Raptors and the Bucks. I'm just throwing that out there. Ooh.
Especially the way they've been playing, man. Glued, Steve.
Yeah, that might have me interested. Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. And look at how Boston has been over the last 12 years, 13 years. You know, you went from the Rajon Rondo, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen championship team from what, 07, 08, around that time. And you found a way. You never really tanked. You found a way to stay afloat. Now, good all be all that you fleeced Brooklyn for all those draft picks. That's how you ended up with Jaylen Brown and Tatum. But they've always been in it for the last 13 years, man. It's kind of like almost reminiscent of sister, you know, how they were in the 60s with the Bill Russell teams and Sam Jones teams, and then the 80s with Bird, Mikhail Parrish. Over the last 13 years in today's NBA, where players kind of go to their next team like the wind, they've been always in it. Like you said, conference finals, battling with the Heat when LeBron was on those teams or when he was in Cleveland. And you know, or Philly, you know. So the fact is, the Boston, the Celtics, another team. We talk about culture, Danny Ainge, the stability, and you mentioned it about Pat Riley, the last 20 plus years in Miami. Same thing with the Celtics. They're always in it. Now they did get all those draft picks, and they lucked up. I would say lucked up. They fleeced Brooklyn, and I think that, you know, it does help when you have top draft picks. And you get Jaylen Brown and Tatum, and you develop them properly, man. I mean, and then, you, of course, you get the free agents as well. Kemba, Gordon Hayward, who's not even playing. Which, and let me ask you, well, not even ask you, but I think Marcus Smart, I would ask, you know, they don't miss Gordon Hayward. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Steve, I said a long time ago, one Marcus Smart over five players on the Knicks.
Yeah, I agree.
He's the only guy, Steve, other than recently with his shooting, he's the only guy that could score 5 points, get two rebounds, and turn the whole game around. He just does all the little things really, really well. Serious. And until recently, now he's scoring. I mean, he was always a good scorer in college. But he's just that guy, Steve. You're right. I actually think they went up a step when Hayward got hurt this time. Because now it wasn't about, now we got to get all of these guys involved. And, you know, sometimes, Steve, too many cooks spoil the soup.
True that.
They haven't missed a beat. But the funny thing is, and you brought it up, Steve, with the draft picks. And it takes me back to the Knicks. You've had top picks for the last 6 years. It's the players you're picking, you know. And again, what with the Philadelphia and the Fultz and Tatum falling into the Celtics' lap. I mean, sometimes you really got to know what you're doing, Steve. You can get a high draft pick, the Knicks, Phoenix, Sacramento. You know, the list goes on and on. Guys that have been in the lottery forever. Some of them are coming up now, Steve. Don't get me wrong. But they're not where the Celtics are. And they all was accumulating picks around the same time the Celtics were. Were they the smartest apples in the tree? Maybe. But they used their picks wisely. You look at Tyler Hero, Steve. Got into a debate with somebody last night. Tyler Hero didn't do nothing better than R.J. Barrett all year. Really? I mean, I understand your loyalty to your team. Don't get me wrong. He's a much better shooter. He contributed, and they were in the second round of the playoffs. And he's still shooting, Steve. I mean, not taking nothing away from R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett was a third pick. Hero was a 13th pick. How do these teams keep doing this stuff, Steve? And we get stuck with pick after pick that, oh, he'll be good in umpteen years. He'll be able to shoot in umpteen years. And these other teams get guys that come right out the box, D. And they're just like they were in college. I just don't get it. I don't know if the Knicks scouting system was jacked up or whoever was making the picks was jacked up. I don't know. But you look at what the Celtics and the Heat have done when it comes to draft picks, D. They didn't miss a box. I hate to say it. You know, they're our arch enemies, but like I said before, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Look at these guys. Oof, God, Steve, they might go to the championship.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on Game 7 with the Rockets and the Thunder? I know that game's about to come on as we speak. How do you think the Rockets are going to win? Or the Thunder's going to pull it out? What's your thoughts on how Chris Paul played in Game 6? I know Russell Westbrook is one of your favorites and how he had a bad game, man. I mean, he had a bad moment in that fourth quarter with that crucial turnover. And I'm really surprised James Harden didn't really score as much in the fourth quarter and put that series away. What's your thoughts on that series?
I like you, Steve. I like to see the Thunder win. But then again, who matches up better against the Lakers? Do you want to see the Thunder? Can they ride this Cinderella story past that, or will it be a cakewalk for the Lakers? I don't know. I'd like to see. For some reason, I've developed a soft spot for Chris Paul. Don't ask me how it happened. But I never liked him. I always thought he was full of himself, pretty dirty. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, I got to give credit where credit is due, Steve. Remember, we talked about this in the summer. They're going to get him. They're going to trade him, blah, 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 blah. And you know what, Steve? At the end of the day, they had as many wins as the Rockets during the regular season. So
yeah,
it ain't like they're playing a number one seed and OKC's the number eight seed. No, they had the same record. So pick your poison there, Steve. I'd like to see them win, to be quite honest. I would, because I don't like the way the Rockets play. I think that's hard basketball to watch. So
yeah,
let's go.
I mean, we
let's
all know
Thunder.
The game plan. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I picked the Thunder to win the series, but it doesn't matter. Either or is going to lose to the Lakers. I mean, that's just the way I look at it. The Lakers are just – they have too many dimensions for either of those teams to overcome. And I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a Laker-Clipper Western Conference Finals in the bubble. Let me ask you this, Don, before we get off. Let me ask you this, because I couldn't wait to ask you this question, because it's a situation in the NBA on the court. It's about the challenge. I think there's a loophole within the challenge, the timeout challenge. But first of all, I'll preface it like this. The number of timeouts they get in the half or in the game, I think it's probably maybe one or two too many. But here's I'm going to throw it at you like this. If a team challenges, you know how the teams usually go to each other's, you know, they go to their respective benches during, you know, when a play is being reviewed. I think they should eliminate that. I think those teams are using that challenge time, you know, when the reps are going to the replay center to review a play. It's almost like you're getting a timeout, because you can always draw up a play when you go back to your bench without calling a timeout. I think, you know how in this current bubble situation, you know where the bench is, you know, on the top part of your TV screen. I think players should go on the opposite side of the court away from the coach, so it doesn't look like you're using the timeout. I really believe teams are getting away with that kind of like a pseudo timeout. And I know that teams are burning, you know, you lose a timeout if the challenge is unsuccessful. I really believe you should lose two. I mean, you got to really make timeouts valuable. That's kind of the whole point I'm trying to ask. And I don't know if you ever thought about it, but what's your thought as me bringing this up as far as the challenge and the timeouts? If you know, who should go where during a challenge? What's your thoughts on that?
That's a part two to what I always thought about the challenge. My first oxymoron with the challenge is, I'm a baseball fan. Everybody says baseball takes too long. NBA is a 48-minute game that takes 3 hours to play. Now you add these reviews and these challenges. Now it's taking three hours and some change for a 48-minute game. And you're right, Steve. I'm going to challenge this. So you're getting a free timeout. And
right.
Now you're over there huddled up. That to me, first of all, Steve, it's hard enough, especially during the regular season. Some of the games are, you know, dragged out after January, February, and then you got to put up with this. You know, come on, Steve, me and you both saw a game that the last minute and 30 seconds took about 30 minutes of clock time, of your clock. Watch.
Yeah.
Real time. 30 minutes to play a minute and 30 seconds. That's unacceptable. Here's the thing, Steve. I read a statistic today. Since 2010-2011 season, the NBA ratings have gone down 40% on TNT and 30% on ESPN. And now you add all of this extra fuckery. It's just taking too long, Steve. Never mind the free timeout. That should have never happened, Steve. I don't know how they didn't identify that. I'm just talking about the time of the game now. That letting them go to the sideline and hang out, have a good time, get some Gatorade. I don't know how that ever got this far, Steve, to be honest. I kept thinking, Yeah. They're going to do what Steve just said. They're going to say, yo, this isn't a timeout. You go over there. Y'all go over here like a fighter, except you ain't going to your respective corner.
Right, right.
No.
You know how
it's ridiculous.
You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying, right? Like, you know how the team bench is like on one side of the court, and you can't really see the other. The team, in my opinion, should go on the other side of the court, away from the head coach, so you can't draw up a play. Now it's kind of up to the how, you know, these teams don't have a game plan during practice as far as, you know, what plays you're going to come out of a challenge situation or timeout, whatever. But I just believe there's too many timeouts. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of this, you know, TV commercial breaks, things like that. I think they got to find a way to eliminate the challenge situation where it doesn't you're really getting an extra timeout. I think that's even though a team may get like 6-7 and a half or, you know, for the game or whatever, you're really getting more than that with, you know, you're adding in the challenge situation. And I think you should, like, instead of losing one timeout, I think you should lose two timeouts. I think you should really say, okay, if you're going to challenge, you're going to have to really make it worth it, because I don't think one timeout is enough. Do you feel
first
like
all,
do you feel that?
First of all, Steve, I didn't know it got this out of hand. They're challenging calls.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I thought it was like goaltending, ball going out of bounds. Now they're challenging offensive fouls at the basket. Right. You know, I'm like, wait a minute. First of all, like I always said, Steve, there's approximately 117 dead minutes in a basketball game to begin with. That's before all of this stuff. And you're talking load management, players getting tired. You had 117 3 minutes per game. That's almost 2 hours of the 3 hours you're playing. And now you add this fuckery. It's crazy, Steve. Serious. It is. Again, I'm a baseball fan. Everybody complains about baseball takes so long. And basketball is a three-hour sport. And they're only playing 48 minutes. Baseball's playing nine innings. You can't put a clock on that. It's not like, okay, Steve, the first inning has to be 6 minutes. No. But you're talking a 48-minute game, Steve, that's taken approximately 3 hours, 2.5 hours on a regular game. 3 hours on a nationally televised game. That's 117 dead minutes during every basketball game. Now you throw this nonsense in there. Whew. Steve, what time is it? It's 9:30. So we're talking 3 hours already. And that game, I don't think it's over yet. There was 15 seconds left. That game is still on 3 hours later.
Right.
A 48-minute game still being played 3 hours later. No, that is – they got to do something, Steve. They got to – I'm being honest, Steve. I didn't know there were so many different aspects to this challenge. I thought it was an out-of-bounds, maybe a goaltending, a shot clock violation. I didn't know they was doing fouls and who sneezed on who. And I'm like, this is out of control. Serious, Steve. It's out of control. 3 hours.
It is.
Think about that.
Yeah.
3 hours.
It is. We're going to wrap up, Don, because we know we got a game 7 to watch. Final thoughts
from you,
man, on the hoops.
First of all, rest in peace, Tom Seaver. Oh, God. What a year, Steve. Just this week we lost how many people. But the playoffs, they've been pretty interesting, Steve. The Nuggets and the Jazz, that was a hell of a series.
Mm-hmm.
This one is going to be a good one. The Heat and the Bucks. A game 7 tonight. 2 game 7s in 2 nights. See, if you're a basketball junkie, you can't ask for more than that. So, once again, Steve, I thank you, man. I love you, kid. Keep up the good work, bro.
Yes, sir. And, you know, man, we had to cut it short because the games was on, man. I mean, that takes precedence. So we got always have something to talk about the next time we come around, man. But,
yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Enjoy the weekend, man. Of course, Dom and myself, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, for the millennials on the hoops, on the NBA, Knickerbocker Avenue Forum, Sanger S. Wu, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Yeah.
bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.